New research from Curtin University has found that while man's best friend may be good for us, it's not always good for the environment. Lead researcher, Associate Professor Bill Bateman, has studied the overlooked environmental impact of pet dogs and have found some pretty interesting results. To tell us more about the research, we're joined by Associate Professor Bill Bateman from Curtin School of Molecular and Life Sciences. Thank you so much for joining me on The Record today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So what led to looking into the impact of dogs specifically on our environment?
Well, I think it started because we were aware that there's a bit of a blind spot that we have about pet dogs. And we're specifically talking about pet dogs here, dogs that we take out for walks, that live with us at home. And certainly in Australia, we're aware of the impacts that cats have, and that there's a pretty fine line between what a feral cat and a pet cat is. But we were interested in thinking about dogs because dogs are far more common than cats. There's 6 to 7 million owned dogs in Australia. There's 90 million in the US. There's probably almost a billion in the world, and that makes them the commonest large carnivore in the world. So we were interested in the impacts that dogs might have, everything from predatory behavior through to disturbance, through to just the carbon footprint of the enormous pet food industry that's associated with them. And when we actually went out and looked at the literature that's out there, the impacts that we found were, you know, really incredibly widespread, kind of unrecognized and very insidious.
So can you tell us more about some of those impacts that you discovered?
Yeah, so if we start, the way we looked at it was a kind of cascade. So we looked at the direct effects through to the indirect effects. And because they're carnivores, dogs still behave in a predatory way. So there's lots of evidence out there that dogs can attack and injure and kill wildlife. And everything from records in animal rescue centers through to observations on beaches where dogs destroy nests of breeding birds, that adds up around the world. The next stage is just disturbance. Dogs, particularly, as I suppose the most obvious example, is dogs running on beaches. And they can disturb migratory birds and nesting birds just by pushing them off the beach. And that comes with effect, that comes with cost to their breeding success and comes with cost to their energetic output. But then I think probably people are aware of that to some extent. But then beyond that, we found that there were effects like even the mere presence of a dog can affect animals' behavior. Animals, birds through to mammals all across the world will avoid areas where people walk dogs over areas where people just walk alone. And even when the dog is gone, it has left scent traces, and animals refuse or prefer not to use those areas where dogs have been. And then beyond that, we have the impact of the fact that there's so many dogs around the world, the enormous amount of droppings and urine that they leave behind can have an effect on plant growth. It can have an effect on soil health, soil chemistry. And then, of course, all those dogs need to eat things. So the enormous pet food industry that is driven beyond that, it ends up that the pet food industry has a carbon footprint equivalent to about Mozambique or the Philippines. So it's one of the higher producing countries, equivalent of the higher producing countries. All of this adds up. And the other thing that we talked about is that there's two main thrusts to this. One is just the sheer number of dogs. And that kind of discussion about the sheer number of dogs is something which is kind of difficult to answer. But the other, particularly with the direct effects on animals, is just the behavior of owners. We have to be good owners if we want to have dogs and also be good guardians of the environment.
It's so interesting to hear all of these impacts, because even just we're doing the right thing by taking our dog for a walk, making sure they're getting exercise and fresh air and keeping them healthy, but in turn it does impact the local wildlife. So it sounds like it's quite a hard balance and almost a fine line in a way to make sure you're doing right by your pet, making sure they're staying healthy, but also being careful and protecting the local wildlife.
Absolutely, and this is something that the paper that we produced is not in any way intended to be finger-wagging or censorious. We're trying to raise awareness of it. And Most people, I mean, the absolute overwhelming majority of dog owners tend to be people that are nature positive. And, of course, the huge benefits we get from dogs are our mental health, our physical health. And as I've said before, it often makes us more aware of environmental impacts by having an animal which causes us to go out every day and maybe go for a walk on the beach, go for a walk in the woods, and we actually become closer to nature in that way. So having a dog, we're not saying to people don't have dogs, absolutely not. I mean, we've all been, probably all been dog owners in our life. But what we're saying is that if you raise that awareness, then people can do something. Individual people can do things to ameliorate the effects of their pet dogs.
You're listening to On the Record. We're joined by Associate Professor Bill Bateman, and we're discussing new research on the impact of dogs on the environment. So what are some steps people can take, what dog owners can take to try and minimise this impact and be a sustainable and sustainable pet owner?
Well, the first thing is obey leash laws. Now, there are beaches which you can walk dogs on, and there are beaches which you absolutely should not walk dogs on, and then there are beaches which you should only walk dogs on with a leash. The very least people can do is obey those rules. Now, I was in correspondence with someone who contacted us about the paper and said that near Brisbane there is a beach which is dedicated for people to walk their dogs on, and over a long weekend they can count almost 1,000 individual dogs using that beach over 3 days. So that's a huge impact. Now, even if that were spread out on other beaches, they're going to be disturbing animals. So I really think that the idea that we have areas for dogs and areas where dogs don't go, and that we should accept that as owners, is a good step in the right direction. The other one, which I don't think anyone would disagree with, is pick up your dog's droppings. The individual impact to other people's health and just the enjoyment of being outside is immediate if you're picking it up, but also it's having an effect on the environment. We all might think, oh, it's just my dog, it's just one set of droppings on my walk. But if everyone thinks that way, this is the tragedy of the commons, you end up with enormous amounts of waste out there which are having negative effects on the impact. The other way, of course, is to think about the sustainability of dog food. There are more sustainable, lower carbon footprint dog foods out there. We are aware, of course, that these tend to be, at the moment, more expensive. And obviously people will think about their wallets while they're doing this. What we hope is that more people will choose to use those more sustainable dog foods. That will inevitably drive the price down and make it more accessible to other people.
Yeah, so can you tell us a bit more about those findings about the pet food industry? It's quite interesting because you wouldn't really think much about that part of the industry being having an impact on the environment.
Yeah, it's astounding. It's one of the things that really astounded us. There was a study in 2020 that found that the dry pet food industry had an environmental footprint of about twice the land area of the UK, and the greenhouse gas emissions equivalent to about the 60th highest emitting country. And that's really quite shocking when you think about that. It's not just dogs. Obviously, the pet food industry for cats as well is enormous. But that kind of impact for an animal is one of the commonest animals in the world. There's probably just south of about 1 billion owned dogs in the world. That kind of impact is huge. And how to ameliorate that becomes more difficult. I can completely understand people going, you know, how can I make a difference as an individual? As I say, there are more sustainable dog foods out there, but the main issue there is simply the sheer number of dogs in the world.
So it sounds like there's a bit of a collaborative effort needed between dog owners and conservation groups, policymakers, and the dog food industry.
Absolutely. And the same with other people in society, conservationists and other people that want to use open spaces, other people that want to go to beaches. Some people, of course, simply don't like dogs, and we have to accept that. We don't want to be forcing dogs on people, and we don't want to be forcing dogs on the environment. But at the same time, we want to benefit from having those dogs. One thing that's really pleased me is that the paper's only just come out, and we've had incredibly positive feedback from community groups around Australia that say that this is a very useful resource for them when they go to their local shire councils and so on to talk about how they can balance owning dogs and protecting wildlife.
So how can we better educate pet owners so they understand the importance and also the impact of dogs on the environment so they can take those better steps to a sustainable dog ownership?
Well, if you're the kind of person that is prepared to talk to people, it's always worthwhile talking to people when you are in places like beaches or out in the wild and you see dogs off leashes. The unfortunate side is that lots of people don't like being lectured about that, which is understandable. What we're trying to do is precisely this sort of thing of talking to the media and trying to raise awareness. And as I say, this is not meant to be finger-wagging at all. I don't own a dog at the moment, but I have plenty in the past, and I have no intention of telling people not to have dogs. But just as we make choices in the world about our energy use or our travel decisions and things like that, we should be doing the same sort of thing with the dogs in our life.
It's been really interesting to dive into this research with you this morning. Is there anything next for this particular avenue of your research?
Well, we've been thinking of a few things. We'd really like to have a look at maybe some case studies of where the impacts might peak, either based on different regions of suburbs or different regions of access for dogs and other pets. As I say, most of the feedback we've had has been incredibly positive. We have had some negative, even abusive responses because people get very defensive about their dogs. But as I've said, this is not meant to be in any way picking on people. Raising awareness in any way we can to improve the life of us and our dogs and the natural environment around us.
Well, Associate Professor Bateman, thank you so much for joining us on The Record and walking us through your new research. I can't wait to see what else comes from you and the team next.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Associate Professor Bill Bateman from Curtin University sharing with us new research about pet dogs and their impact on the environment, including wildlife and ecosystems.